Welcome to the Dirt Life Show with your host, George Hamill.
Industry Insider today with Cody Bradbury and Corbin Lieberton. And talk to them about their new program, how they did the Mint 400, all kinds of cool stuff. I actually kind of wanted to bring up, see if they're down to talk about transitions in motorsports, like going from different manufacturers, maybe some different sponsors, like that kind of stuff. It should be pretty cool to talk with those guys. And look at James with IMG. You can see his, there we go, right there. Badass KMC wheels. Let's see here. Yeah, the Orange County Firefighters car right here. Show you that it's that real quick. Boom. All right, let me get Cody and Corbin on here for us. There's Cody. Him on real quick, start talking with him a little bit. But yeah, I thought it would be pretty cool for you guys to understand a little bit how a professional team navigates the whole landscape of sponsorships and stuff. Cody Bradbury, what's up, man?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing awesome, dude. Your hair is looking good.
I literally just walked in the door from work.
I just shredded in. Let me see if I can get Corbin on. Hang on a sec, all right?
All right.
But yeah, so I wanted to talk with the audience a little bit about like transitions in motorsports and stuff like that. I think it'd be a kind of a cool little topic. Corbin Lieberton, what's up, homie?
What's going on?
Are you outside?
Yeah, I'm chilling. Back patio.
Enjoying it, right? So yeah, I just did the intro, but the volume was a little bit low. We're at IMG Motorsports today. As you can see right here, James got some really nice KMC grenades. I don't know if you guys feeling those white and black ones, dude. That's your new scheme.
I always gotta love the black and white,
dude, for sure. All right, so want to do a little introduction. So we've had a show already with Cody and Corbin, and both of them fantastic UTV racers, good at marketing, good at promoting themselves, and good at showing off the side-by-side industry as a whole. So I'm glad to have you guys on. I want to talk about a couple different things today. I want to talk about you guys' Mint 400 that just transpired or happened this past week, and also like transition and what you guys are doing now. So maybe you could just kind of start off by telling me, some of the success that you get each have had in the past in side-by-side racing.
Go for it, Corbin.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, me, myself and Cody both have kind of ran a team deal racing for Polaris for the last few years, mainly in works where we've both got a few pro championships and, transitioned over to try to race some short course over at Texplex last year. Not with the greatest luck, but we definitely tried. And now we've switched over, made the jump to Can-Am, and trying to see what we can do in the desert, out of Best in the Desert. So,
yeah, that's a pretty, tall order, right? To like switch manufacturers and switch racing series to see how you can do. But both of you guys have insane amount of talent. So James and I, actually, from IMG, were actually talking about how talented you guys both were. So it's cool to see. And Cody, you got a bunch of success in the side-by-side world as well.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I've been around since, I think I started in 2013. So got a bunch of wins and championships and stuff like that. And we came from desert. I mean, I raced a truck in desert for a little bit before I ever started racing side-by-sides. And then obviously in, 2020, I raced a Razor in desert as well. Corbin co-drove with me. So, obviously we got the experience there and, in terms of going desert racing. So it's not something completely new. Yeah, it's a little bit different than what we've been doing the last couple of years, but, have experience there. It is definitely different for sure, jumping into a Can-Am from Polaris. I've been with Polaris since 2016. So it's definitely a little bit weird taking some of the Razor stuff out of the closet and moving it to the side and all that. So it's for sure new.
Yeah, and I can vouch for that. Like, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I don't want to have that be our main focus because I want to talk about what you guys have going on in the future. But I think it's good for our audience to understand because we get so many questions about, like, sponsorship and racing and all of these different things. And this is one of the major things that happens. And it doesn't just happen to you guys. It happens to everybody, right? Like, in 2015 and 16, I made a big transition from Polaris to Yamaha at the time. And it was a massive change. I felt super bad about some things. I felt super good about some things. There was all kinds of
different relationships that I had to work with on it. And that's like what you guys are going through or have been going through for the past little bit. So maybe just give us like a baseline. So I know that you guys had a very, very strong Polaris Razor Racing program and relationship with Polaris for many years. And now you guys decided to take a different route, go with the Can-Am platform. And you, by looking at it at the Mint 400, you guys were on rails, man. You guys were doing very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's pretty hard to argue with the results that, you know, Can-Am's put up with guys like Phil and Dustin, and, you know, Dustin's win last weekend, even at the Mint. So for us, it, you know, it was just something that made sense. Obviously, like you said, it's really, really difficult to not, you're not losing that relationship with Polaris, but you know, you're not going to be dealing day in and day out with those same people that you've been dealing with since 2016. And Corbin was, you know, a year or two after me there as well. So, you know, that part is a little bit of a bummer, you know, but you still see him at the races. You still, you know, I saw some of the guys from Polaris this weekend, even at the Mint, and you know, they're all over there telling us good luck and all that. So, you know, that part's super cool, but the transition for us for Can-Am just kind of made sense. Obviously, it's a really proven platform in the desert. And Corbin and I both felt like, you know, that was our best, I guess, way to get good results instantly going back into the desert. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of why.
Yeah, and you took a car that was already proven and built as well. So, like Corbin, when you have to manage those relationships and you do those switches, first of all, you guys were putting in a ton of work for your program for the last, let's just say, 5 or 6 years, ever since you guys started the side-by-side stuff. So everything that you did was usually to make people happy and to also make your program successful and move forward, right? So when you do stuff like that, it makes it so that when you have to make a transition in the future, like what you guys have done in the last 6 months, it makes it a little bit easier because you can have an open conversation with them, tell them what you're going to do and continue that relationship moving forward. Because who knows, let's just say 5 years from now, you might make a transition back. So
yeah,
all those things are pretty important, right?
Exactly. And that's like, to your point, man, that's kind of why, you build these relationships and you try not to burn bridges or anything as you go. And even with us specifically with Polaris, you know, I mean, there was no hard feelings there. It was just something that, like Cody said, it just made sense for us. And we just felt that we could go win races there ultimately. And there's lots of decisions that are little factors that lead us to that decision, you know. But no, it's cool that we were able to end it on a good note with Polaris. And then, yeah, it's just like with any sponsor, you know, like, we've switched wheel sponsors and tire sponsors or whatever it may be multiple times and even gone back, like with KMC this year. You know, we left on good terms and we're gone for a few years and we're back this year and stoked to be back and they're stoked to have us back. So, yeah, it's the industry we're in, you know. I mean, people make moves and just at the end of the day, you kind of just got to do what is what's best for you at the time and also looking at your future, you know, that you're not going to hurt yourself for the future.
Yeah, exactly. And well, just to add another point that you're talking about, like, it's not just you guys moving, right? Like, there's people like employees of brands that move, right? Like one guy could go from one wheel company to another. Another guy could go from a tire company to another, suspension, whatever it is, right? So the main thing that I want everybody to understand in this whole process of how good of a job that you guys did in this transition is that keeping up those relationships with the people means the world to everybody.
Yeah, no, and it's super important. I mean, even like Cody was saying, you know, we saw a few guys from Polaris out at the Mint, you know, and they were cool enough to come over and say good luck to us and everything can be cool. And you never know, man, we may be back with those same guys at a different brand or at the same brand or whatever it may be. I mean, I know there's guys like our buddy Ryan Guidis over at KMC, who you know well, you know. He was over at KMC when we were there and then over at Motul and worked us a deal there and then back at KMC now. So yeah, relationships are everything in this industry for sure. And it's always cool when you can work with people you've worked with in the past. And yeah, I mean, it's cool. A lot of people bounce around to a lot of different spots, you know, so whether you're a racer or working on the sponsor end in the industry, it's cool to be able to work with the same people.
Okay, cool. So we'll wind this conversation up a little bit. Like, I just want everybody to make sure that they understand that, like, those relationships, I say it time in and time out on the show, like, you always have to keep those relationships and make sure that you're professional with all the people that you associate with, because everybody wants a sponsor, right? But not very many people want to put in the work for the sponsors, and you guys have done a good job with that. So I'm really proud of you guys in the new direction that you're going. All right, so looking at all the new stuff, everybody's probably seen all the posts and stuff that you guys have done on social media. The new livery or the new like branding and scheme, the black and white, dude, that holds a really, really strong piece of my heart, dude. I'm a big black and white guy. So who came up with that?
I don't even think it was something that had to be talked about. That's just us. I mean, look at me right now. I'm wearing all black and white. So just our style. We like that. We're both.
It's kind of clean. I mean, it's kind of what we did. It's kind of what we did last year. Didn't really have the time to get the cars powder coated white and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of where we wanted to be, but didn't quite get to pull it off last year. And so I guess didn't really have any more time this year and getting ready for the mint, but just made it happen with some spray paint.
Dude, she looks so clean though. Ken Johnson, what's up? Wyatt Hastings, what's up? Yeah, I love the way it looked, man. And again, you guys put in a lot of effort into the program, making sure that you guys are looking clean. We've talked about it a bunch of times before, but for anybody that's new that's watching, take a look at the way that these guys run their program. The way that they run it is really professional. The look that the way that they do. We always say it's like a lot more like moto than off-road, right? Like, because that's where you guys came from. Love that vibe.
Yeah, that's what we try to stick with. Moto stuff's always the sickest stuff.
Right? It always
A little bit different. A little bit different program this year, just kind of being a little bit late and all that. So Corbin and I are driving the same car at the moment, and it's definitely weird right now. But I think as we transition here and stuff, you know, stuff picks up a little bit throughout the year, it'll kind of go back to a little bit normal right now.
Talking about moto, Ken Johnson wants to know how he gets in on those pit bike races.
Yeah, I hope we never do one of those again.
Yeah, please. That was next door to my house.
Ken can put it on. We'll be there.
Ken knows what's up, dude. He can put on a pit bike race. He might invite way more people, though. Who knows?
He'll do it right.
All right, so you guys have a lot of changes in the program. Can you mention a few of those changes? I know that you guys are Team KMC. What's up, dude? So you guys are Team KMC now. You got some other sponsors that like Motul that stayed on board with you guys. Really cool to see that those guys are still with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first off, the biggest thing would be, you know, Can-Am. We went back with KMC, picked up Maxxis this year. Motul's back. There's a couple other sponsors that are back. Sparco. There's a few in there, Walker, Rigid, those guys, you know, kind of came back on and wanted to give us a shot running the Can-Am. Obviously it's a little bit different. Walker doesn't do a ton of Can-Am stuff on the race side of it. So, you know, that's new for them. We've been testing with them. So it's been a little bit of a learning curve, and, you know, both of us never really, you know, we've never really driven Can-Ams. I think Corbin drove it once or twice before the mint, and I drove that car for about 10 minutes before the mint. So it's, you know, a little different for sure.
What did you guys think overall about the way that the program started off and how it kicked off at mint? I mean, the car looked like it was doing pretty good when we were watching you guys. But what about everything else? It was kind of like keeping the gears lubed because you have all the same team and everybody that's helping you out in the pits and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, trying to get back into the swing of the whole pit situation and just the mindset of desert racing and how long it is and all that, and keeping the car together was different. But man, I think both me and Cody were super stoked with how the new car handled and what little problems we had with it. And overall, I don't know, just cool to have a change in obviously the change in manufacturer and just learn something new. And then going back to desert racing, you know, was refreshing. Try something new. I think it's kind of just the most hype, biggest thing, you know, where the fastest guys are right now. So I'm stoked to be out there racing the best.
That's kind of crazy. So yeah, so Cody, you might be able to like expand on this a little bit. So in the past like year or so, we've seen a bunch of mix up in Supercross. Jason Anderson, Eli Tomac, like Malcolm Stewart, like all of them switching brands, right? And all of a sudden they have this new like lease on life. They're all excited about motocross again. They're not burnt out anymore. It's a full change. It's like refreshment. Can that happen like with what you guys did or like in a program? Like, let's just say I started a new program. I wonder if I'd probably get that same excitement.
Yeah, honestly, for me, I would say for me, it's a huge reset. Like, I mean, just mindset, all of it. You do the same thing over and over and over and you start to get burnt out. I mean, you know, people do that with jobs and they get new jobs. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, you've seen it with Tomac and Anderson. It's like, it's one of those things where for me and I think for Corbin as well, it was kind of a big reset for us. Not that what we were doing wasn't fun or that it wasn't working or whatever it was. It's just sometimes you need a little bit of a change of scenery. So it's definitely cool to go back and get back in the desert. I'm, you know, notoriously known for not being a guy that's very good on super smooth stuff. So Texas was a bad combination for me, but, you know, getting back in the rough stuff has been fun. I drove like a sissy the first lap. I drove the first two laps in the Mint. Corbin drove the last two. So, I think I came around the first lap in like 20th or something. And Corbin told me it's time to put my purse down and get on it if I can. And, it was a little bit
passenger seat when he was driving.
I was in the pits, so when he came in into the pits, he was kind of just asking me what was up. You know, as everyone's fueling and all that, we try to just kind of, whoever's not in the car at the time, just kind of gives you a rundown of what's going on, where you're at. And I just told him, dude, you're buried in the pack, time to pick it up. And he definitely did. The second lap was a lot faster. So,
yeah, that's cool. Who got the fastest lap of the whole race?
I don't know.
Between us two or between everyone?
No, but just between you two. We got to have a battle between you two. You guys are on the show right now.
I would assume Cody.
Yeah, I had a faster one. Corbin had a couple problems, but yeah, I had a faster one. My second lap was pretty fast.
I thought the third lap was the heater. Maybe it was the second lap.
Lap two.
I would think Cody's lap two would have been, but I don't know. I haven't looked at him, honestly.
I looked at him. I'm faster.
Cody knows.
Come on, give me a win.
Yeah, I'll give it.
That's cool. Well, since I'm wearing the Evolution Power Sports shirt, who's doing you guys tuning up this year?
So Evo's doing a bunch of stuff for us. We're running their exhaust and a few things like that. Luckily, when we made the transition over to Can-Am, there was a few things that are done in-house with the factory. So we were able to get access to some of that stuff. So it's, you know, they're not doing, Evo's not doing our tuning on this race car at the moment. I'm not saying that they're not going to, but that's just kind of where things are at the moment. They're doing a bunch of hard parts and stuff like that. And, you know, we've used their tuning in the past. So we definitely know it's good. It's just, we were trying to pick up and get going at 100% as quickly as possible. And Can-Am had something already proven for us to try. So that's cool. Kind of where it is right now.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. That's good that you guys have that relationship, the direct relationship, and with them starting off. That means that everybody is pretty stoked on you guys. So that's probably Mason over at Steel Savers. He said, Corbin, how close for you to putting Shelby in and pulling Cody out of that?
I just giggled a little when I saw that one. I didn't think about it, but it would have been a good idea after that first lap. Probably.
Dude, that.
I was definitely rusty.
Hey, you guys gotta both be happy though, because like I would say probably maybe halfway through the race, like we were like, oh, they're moving up like decent, and then all of a sudden we were like, oh shit, like these dudes are flipping moving, like, because you guys had got like, I don't know, up to the top 15 or so kind of slow, and then all of a sudden it was like 15 to like top five, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute here, like where did this come from?
Yeah, yeah, it's time to start making some moves.
Yeah, I think I went from 20th. I think it was like 20th to 4th or 20th to 5th in one lap. And I wasn't beating the car to death, but I was driving it pretty hard. And just honestly, Corbin told me before, hey, like, give me a car that we can win with, or, you know, at least get on the podium with. So I did my best to not tear it up too bad before he got into it. And I think it was in pretty good shape. So
to hold it all together. Yeah, look at who we got on now.
What's up?
What's up?
Can't see you. What's up, dude? How are you?
I wear multiple hats, so it's okay.
Where are you at, man?
I'm at Cook's Corner, biker bar, you know.
That's how we do it?
Yeah.
we won't keep you very long, but we were actually talking a little bit, trying to educate some of the people watching the show about like transitions in motorsports when you have to make a you're talking about, you know, Eli Tomac, Jason Anderson, you know, all of these things that happen in motocross. Well, the same things happen in off-road. And when Corbin and Cody talked to you, you guys welcomed them back with open arms because of how they had managed the relationship in the past.
I kind of like these two knuckleheads. We'll see. But we have to thank one person for this deal, you know, Mr. Michael Gardner for that. But, you know,
he's on here. I see him commenting.
Yeah. And that was what? I think that was back in 2018. Like, hey, I have this guy. He kicks ass at everything, but his social game is a little weak, but we'll work on it. But it was the best. I mean, like, I went to AMC the first time and then went to Motul. You know, they dragged him to Motul as well, too, which was great. And then him and Corbin now with the new team, like, I mean, obviously, you know, like the Supercross setups, what they look like. Corbin and Cody pretty much look like a Supercross setup when they show up. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's super good how they brand themselves and how they market everything. So I was just going to kind of tell everybody, like, from a brand manager standpoint, wearing multiple hats again, like when somebody approaches you and does that, the things that you probably look for just to help educate our audience a little bit or some of these other racers would be loyalty, professionalism, and maybe give us a couple more.
Loyalty, I think you just nailed that one, is the best. If you see people jumping from wheel brand to wheel brand every year, it's like, all right, they don't care on what kind of wheel they run. They just look at a paycheck. But I mean, say that and just your social, like for being social and going to the races. I mean, these two guys, and then like when you go to the racetrack, these two guys smile and they're the happiest people you can see. And I think it's what you see behind the scenes, what people look for. Sorry.
Just right when you said behind the scenes, bro.
The main thing is the personality that these two guys have. I mean, you see them not when they're racing, and they are the happiest people, family loving people. And when they're not racing, they're working on cars, they have day jobs. But that's the main thing, I think.
Yeah, I can agree with that 100%. Yeah, so you look at the person. What kind of stuff does KMC have planned with these guys? Are you guys just going to support them for the rest of the year and see how things go?
Yeah, of course. Do that. I mean, obviously, it was just pushing Polaris to Can-Am, which the cars look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
They do. We already got a comment from Wyatt Hastings that says this really is helping him learn a lot from the real world stuff that we're talking about. So that's good. I'm glad that this is helping you guys for sure. Guidance is a good guy to give expertise because he's been on the other side of things as well. So big moto guy, though. I'm sure he likes the shakeup with Anderson and Mookie and Tomac because it's created some insane battles.
No, that's for sure. But I think it's what these guys do behind the scenes too. What really makes a lot. Racing, like, let's all be honest, racing is like 1% of the business we do, but it's what is done behind the scenes. Like these guys going out filming, going out and having fun, doing all this stuff, the lifestyle thing. That's what really, I think, what also helps sponsors as myself look into. So
that makes a big difference too, right? I noticed on the.
But then videos of him, you know, dicking around, having fun and his razor in the desert, working on pre-runners. Whereas guys, they just show up to the race. They don't do anything. So, I mean, you got to have that.
Yeah, totally. And connecting with the audience and stuff. Yeah, you're doing a good job, man. All right. Well, since you're at the biker bar, already having fun, dude, we'll let you go. Make sure you order some tacos for us, all right? All right. Thanks, homie. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
See ya.
Later. Super cool that he was able to call in, shed some more light on it. And I appreciate you guys being open about all this stuff and helping the audience members and understanding about, like, what happens on maybe should we call it the business side of racing? Is that what we should call it?
Yeah, honestly, that's like he's saying, the racing part's 1%. You have, I mean, obviously, you know, sponsors want you to win races and stuff. They don't pay you or give you free product or anything like that for you to go out and, you know, not do good. But at the same time, you know, there's a whole other side of it. Corbin does a way better job at it than I do and on the social media stuff. And he's pushing me. I'm on the older generation. So he's teaching me how to do these collab posts and all this other stuff that I have no clue how to do. So,
yeah, I still don't know how to do that. I still don't know how
to be at all these days, I guess.
Corbin, you got to teach me because I don't know how to do all that crap either.
I feel like I'm not very good, but I try at least.
All right, so let's get back to like the races and stuff. Like I said, I appreciate Guidance calling in and letting us know because it really does help a lot. A lot of these things that you guys are talking about now never get talked about or never get opened up in our industry. So I'm really proud of you guys for giving information to everybody. Back to the races, though, like when I saw you guys come into the top five, I was like, no effing way, dude. This is so rad. First out, like they're shredding. Like they must be so happy. What was the vibe like when you guys moved into the top five? Were you just like, all right, we got to keep it together?
Once I hopped in and we kind of had a couple of little minor issues that kind of set us back a little bit. So we weren't like, it kind of almost seemed like the wind might be out of reach, but we were still kind of just trying to plug along and see what was happening. But I think the real turning point would have been I pulled into, what was that, remote pit two or three or whatever?
I think it was remote pit three right there.
Something like that, about half a lap to go in that last lap. And we were, a few seconds out of second. And Cody pretty much told me, like, now's the time, like, go. And from then on, we were definitely ripping. Me and then Colby was passenger in there. We were pretty much going at it from then on. In two-wheel drive, and yeah, it was.
Oh, did you lose a front diff?
Yeah, we ended up losing one of those. Shoot, I don't know. Going
end
into
of,
the
end of lap three,
going into the last lap there. Yeah, the end of lap three. So ran the
You're
whole last lap in two-wheel drive.
That fast.
Dude, I was thoroughly impressed with how good that thing was in two-wheel drive. The thing was ripping in two-wheel drive. So
dude,
I was able
crazy.
To really not lose any time, and once we really started to push again, still gain time on second at that. So, man, we got to that point, and not to jump ahead, but to the end, I guess, man, we had just passed Ronnie and Keats for second, which they kind of had some misfortune. We're broke on the side of the track there, but waved by them, and I think that had us sitting in second. And dude, we were 4 or 5 miles out from the finish, and we had a little wire get cut and lost all power. So it was a bit of a heartbreaker for sure. I usually try to be pretty like unemotional about that kind of stuff, but dude, that one hurt for sure, especially after how long that day was, and to come back and still be sitting second and be that close. It was tough in the speed zone too.
Dang, really? Yeah, that's. I guess it's like going like 9 rounds, and then all of a sudden, in the 10th round, you get knocked out, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was a bummer, and don't get me wrong, it stung, and I mean, it stung for the whole group. Obviously, obviously, we've had our fair share of stuff happen over the last year or so. So it definitely stung, but after the initial sting went away, we were kind of looking back at times and just how hard we drove it, or how hard we thought we were driving, and just where we stood with a car that was like literally out of the box for us. Obviously the Millers put a lot of time and effort into it. We changed a few things that they did. Obviously we don't use the same shop companies and stuff like that. But with that being said, like, man, straight out of the box, the thing was so good. And I mean, man, we were able to go from pretty dang far back early on to come up through the pack. And yes, that, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a few people that had issues and stuff like that. So, that is part of it. And we had our own right there at the end. So it definitely stung a little bit, but at the same time, like, we're pretty excited with how it all went for the first one. And
yep.
Let's be honest, we finished the car 9 p.m. Wednesday night before the mint. We did a little bit of testing on that Monday before. So like, it was pretty last minute. Everything was fairly last minute. But for me and for Corbin, it was like one of those things where, hey, let's just go and see how it goes. And we'll know what we need to fix for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes those are the best races, right? Like, you're unprepared. You're just like, you know what? I don't have anything to lose. Let's just go see what happens.
Yeah.
And you come away with it with a good mindset too. Like, you're, what do they always say? Glass half full.
Yeah. No, I think to Cody's point, like, yeah, it was a bummer and stuff, but looking back on it, it for sure was a positive, you know, with what little time we've had in the car, what little time we've had testing, and just
just all of it to make the switch and right off the bat be competitive. You know, we really didn't know where we were going to stand in a new car and a series we haven't raced in a while and all that. So all in all, once it all settled, you know, we're back here cleaning it up and realize, man, like that was a pretty good day, and we're sitting pretty good to go race here the rest of the Best in the Desert season. I think we should be competitive. So, you know?
Yeah, dude, totally competitively. All right, so Cody, like being back in the desert, how did it feel?
You know what? The first go around, I hated it with a passion. I like to bang doors, and for whatever reason, I did not like it. And then I got back in it, and I don't know if it had to do with the car or what it was exactly, or honestly, just being back at the races. I haven't been at the races in a while. I had fun. I had a lot of fun. I mean, obviously it stings right there at the end, but man, it was fun to be back, and it was fun to be on a rough track. I mean, I've never raced cement before, so I don't know if this one was rough compared to, you know, times past. I've raced Best in the Desert, so I know how rough that is, but it was fun just to kind of get back in a rhythm there on the second lap and, you know, start doubling through big bumps and just kind of get a rhythm and a flow and to be able to just put down some time and actually drive. So it definitely felt good to be back.
So that's exactly one of the questions I was going to ask, but you kind of already did, was like, first of all, they said it was one of, if not the roughest Mint 400 in the last, like, let's just say 10 years or something. So, so to answer your question, it was rough as crap, but, I saw some people that were like really doing good with like their rhythms and being smooth and stuff. You feel like you had that down pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't know the track, you know, you don't know it perfect. So it's not like a short course deal where you know, every single bump that you're about to hit. So it's just, I mean, for me, I felt like I was able to kind of get in a groove and, you know, miss the big bumps, maybe jump over the big bumps and hit the little ones and stuff like that. And, you know, you're skipping around from side to side on the track. If someone was following me, they probably thought I was squirrely and out of control. But honestly, I'm just searching around trying to find the smallest bumps to hit because they're all pretty dang big. So if you can, you know, if you can hit the small ones, it's better. Obviously you don't want to, you know, you don't want to get out of control where you're moving around too much, but if you can get a rhythm going, and it makes the race go by a lot faster, man. If you hit every single bump, it's not a fun day. If you can skip a few here and there, it definitely makes it way better.
Dude, I'm proud of you guys for having your setup. So we'll call it. I mean, I'm sure it was like 80% dialed in for you guys. Like, you guys still want to do more work and get it perfect. But to have it that good right off the bat, dude, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was, you know, way more last minute than we would like to be. But, man, I felt like we ended up getting pretty close to where we needed to be to at least be competitive. So.
And, man, we had a ton of help. I mean, we went right in. Miller's have been – I mean, I've been texting back and forth and calling back and forth to Hunter quite a bit.
We wouldn't even have made it without him.
Yeah. No, and I mean, Can-Am, I mean, they stepped up. They got ECUs. They got, you know, they got parts to us quickly and gave us something that we could just throw in the car and not have to go test and just run. So, you know, between you know, Can-Am and the Millers, I felt like that was the biggest thing that helped us get there, like, instantly. Obviously, you know, Walker jumped on right away and was, you know, working on the shocks and stuff like that. But you know, those two groups of people definitely made it happen for us.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we were talking about before, is you always have good relationships with people.
Yeah, and I think to Cody's point too, even like, I would have to say, like, even the guys at Can-Am so far have been so helpful with getting stuff done so quickly. Anything we needed, really, they've handled for us. Jeff and Simon over there have been super good to work with. So shout out to all those guys. And I know we've had some help from a couple of people, like Gastel came and helped us out with some ECU stuff. And then obviously Miller's. So all the guys over there have been super helpful, even Phil with a few things. And all those guys have been, you know, welcomed us with open arms and tried to help us out any way they could. So it's been a smoother transition because of that, you know?
Yeah, totally. What was your guys' favorite part of the race?
The leg beds when I got to breathe. Felt like my butt was sore the whole time from the bumps.
How fast did that thing go? Because we were wondering, like, I was thinking anywhere from 90 to 110 would be what the next
out of. So I ended up hitting 95, and I kept it at 95. It had more. I was just trying to keep belt temps where they would recover. And, you know, obviously going back and doing a downhill from from where things were. It looks like we could have ran the belt temps a little bit higher. So I think we could have been somewhere around like the 98 to 100 mile an hour range. And that's like literally with no testing.
That's so fast, man. And we know the guy at the Evo got some new clutch setups.
Yeah, I just saw some of that stuff. I was talking to Josh over there yesterday about it. They're reworking the P drive. We're not on the P drive clutch yet, which is the new 2022 Can-Am clutch. We're still on the old style one right now. Just that one's a little more tested. So as soon as the new one gets tested a little more, we'll put that one in it and give it a shot.
Dude, all the Gucci stuff and all these badass parts is so cool to see side by sides just keep growing and growing. Like, the market's so cool, man. What was your favorite part, Corbin?
Man, honestly, I love just coming in after the pits right there with a little short course track, the old works loop right there. Just kind of, I don't know, just kind of refresh me a little bit. You see so many rocks and the same looking bumps and turns and all of it in the desert and that 100-mile loop that it's kind of just refreshing to come and see something new, get squirrely in the big old heavy desert car over some little jumps and stuff.
Cody, the youngster's all nostalgic just on the short course, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I had the most fun. There's a couple big, long, like downhill with just big bumps. And like you look down at the speedo and you realize you're doing 80, 85, 90 miles an hour. And like for me, that was where it was at. Like you could get in there, you could get some timing down and just start jumping stuff and skip around, move around. That I had the most fun in that stuff. Obviously, the chattery stuff is rough. I mean, that hurts. I have all the plates and screws in my chest, so it's no fun for that. But the big, long stuff is cool.
Rattling the screws loose?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a kidney or something for that. I feel like my guts just get rattled around in the little washboard stuff. And I do love
it. Dude, imagine back in the day when all the OG dudes used to just rip rhinos and Razor 800s down that.
Yeah. Dude, there's nothing like just ripping through a wash like that. A couple little windy switchbacks and... I was impressed with how fast you could go in that thing through like those washes and stuff. Dude, I was going like 90 through these washes that kind of veer back and forth, kind of getting into the ruts and just finding a flow through there like gets really fun for sure. But then you just get back a little chattery stuff and just good.
That's so cool. Is cool. All right, so we're going to kind of wind things down. I know you guys probably want to eat dinner and stuff since Cody, you just got home. What's the plan for the future then?
So for 22, we're kind of just taking it as it comes, really. I mean, we'll be racing the rest of the Best in the Desert. And then I think Martelli's have another race, that California 300, which would be like the new UTV World Championship. So we'll hit that. Not doing any Mexico stuff, all stuff stateside here.
Unless
we will do it. Yeah. If someone needs drivers, maybe we'll do it.
Yeah, for hire. Let me know.
Dude, yeah, the Mexico stuff's going to be pretty fun. We got to go to San Felipe in about a week here.
Yeah, no, so that's kind of the plan right now. We have a couple cars. We have a couple 2022s on order that we'll put together as some, like, short course / video cars that we can use and go do, like, the Red Bull Sand Scramble, some of those bigger little one-off things in a short course style car. And then for desert, for right now, I think we're just going to be sharing driving duties for the next couple and then – obviously the goal and the transition will be both of us being racing our own desert cars. You know, still same program, everything like we've done before, just two different cars. We both like to drive too much. So, I'm not ready to not drive anymore. And I know he wants to drive too. So,
yeah, that gives you guys a better opportunity to keep those results coming too. That's super cool, man. Big sand guys at the Red Bull Sand Scramble this year. It sounds like,
that's my backyard. I love it.
Dude, do you think you're going to be able to beat Corbin? Because Corbin did pretty good, man.
I mean, he's all right, but I'll have him covered.
Shut up, fans.
I won. It was San Hollow. I think I won 5 years in a row, works, or 4 years in a row, and then they took it off the schedule. So I have some sand experience.
Dude,
yeah, I'll give it to him. He's pretty good in the sand.
We had a question come in from Wyatt Hastings who said, do you guys see UTVs staying in the desert or go to more of a motocross style in the future? Well, this was something that I was going to bring up, but let's let you guys answer it first.
Corbin?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, Roman Motorsports trying to say he's got both of you guys covered in the sand.
That's 702 Sandman, dude.
Come on, Roman.
That's his Instagram name. He better be good in the sand.
Randy, yeah. Dude, Randy gets a second place and he gets all this trash talk.
He's gonna have to come out.
Sorry. Yeah. So what do you think about Wyatt's question?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that's kind of a double question there. As far as what I see happening, yeah, I definitely see the desert continuing to thrive. Just like that's where the manufacturer support is and stuff like that. So that's kind of where all the fast guys have to be. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I think it showcases the car as well. As far as like personally, what I would love to see happen is, yeah, I would love to see like a full blown motocross style racing come about. Something that races tracks really similar, or even if they were the exact, you know, like outdoor, like professional outdoor motocross tracks, I think would be probably the place that would showcase like the abilities of these side-by-sides better than anything. And I don't know if that's fully tapped into yet or people really realize that, but man, these things will go and launch everything on a full-blown pro outdoor track just about. So
they've done a little bit of that stuff in the past, like Steve Bouchard from Rugged Radios. He's actually done a race up at Washougal where they were jumping like some pretty big jumps there. There was a race at Red Bud one year with the short course trucks, like Pro Lights and things like that. That was pretty cool. But one thing that I was going to talk about was the Outlaw Series that's in Texas has a new series called Outlaw Series West. So you guys can all go check it out if you want, Outlaw Series West. But that's going to be a little bit more of an in-between short course and works. So I think that's going to be pretty cool because that kind of gives – so Wyatt Hastings, to answer your question, there is people that are trying to do it and starting to do it now.
Yeah. So
it'll be interesting to see how it ends up working out and how the vehicles do.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited for that as well. I know we've talked with Brian over there that's running the Outlaw Series and now the Outlaw Series West. And I'm sure me and Cody will make a few appearances out there and go check it out. It should be a lot of fun.
That would be pretty cool to see you guys out there. All right, so you guys have some cool plans for the racing stuff. Do you guys have any other fun plans? I know that you guys want to do some videos and some cool stuff in the future too.
Yeah, we'll for sure do some video stuff together. I know, you know, during quarantine, Corbin and I did a couple videos around the house here in, you know, in our razors. Obviously, we're gonna want to update some of that stuff to Can-Am. So we'll definitely do some of that. And we get a decent break here in the summer for desert racing. So that'll give us a little more time to, you know, do some cool video stuff. And I know Corbin and I both want to try to do, you know, do some UTV takeovers and stuff like that. Go do, you know, some of that more fun stuff, or, you know, you can call it more fun where you're not actually working and racing. So that's, those will definitely be on the schedule as well.
What about that? I don't even know if it's a UTV takeover, but that like mud bog thing that they have down like in Louisiana or Alabama or whatever. You guys big mud bog guys?
I'm so down for that if I don't have to wash the car after and it's not mine.
Yeah. Someone give me a car to drive and I'm down. No way I'm bringing my stuff out there.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. You just got to bring those special shoes. Otherwise your shoes are going to be lost.
I was going to hit up Dustin Jones and see if he'd let us come out there with the S3 boys and get rowdy in some mud stuff.
Dude, yeah. I'll go see if I can find a car for you because I'm going to be at Dustin's shop in April. So I'll go see if I can find a car for you guys. I'll put a lock on it and just say.
Yeah, don't even tell him. We'll fly in and just grab it.
Yeah, exactly. Waiting for Cody and Corbin. That's pretty cool. I'm glad that you guys have such a good, well-rounded program. You guys have some marketing ideas, and it just sounds like you guys really have your stuff together. So kudos to both of you guys. And obviously, we can't wait to see you guys get better results on the Desert Series or Desert Racing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. Is there anything you guys want to say or anybody that you want to thank before we bail out?
I mean, just everyone that supports us, obviously. I mean, Can-Am and all the new sponsors that came on board this year, like KMC and Maxxis, all them. And then obviously all the ones that, you know, stayed with us for the last few years and all that, and continue to support as we make the transition, and just everyone out there that pays attention and follows our stuff. And, you know, when we're doing our video projects and stuff, that hypes us up, everything. That's what keeps us going. So yeah, I mean, just everyone out there.
Are you going to start doing like every single motocross guy is doing on the podium and just like over glorifying all the fan culture?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my fans. Yeah, my fans.
I do think it's cool that they're doing that, but it's becoming a little too much now. But yeah, so I agree with what you're saying. You guys have some fantastic people on board, and everybody around you really cares about your guys' program, so I can't wait to see what happens in the future.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. I'm sure I'll see you guys soon. Maybe we'll go get tacos.
Yep, come out.
Soon enough.
Hell yeah.
We got to do the taco run.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, all no right. problem. See you guys later.
Yeah. Right, thanks. Bye.
Super cool to see those guys doing that stuff. And, yeah, so to answer some of your guys' questions that were coming through, go check out Outlaw Series West. Hit them up on Instagram and follow that page. They're going to do a lot of cool stuff, like with the live broadcast. So all the media stuff that you're talking about, all this stuff is coming to fruition now. Some of the series just aren't doing a good job. Some of them are. Texas stuff and the Outlaw Series stuff is really doing a good job with it. So really appreciate all you guys. Always hit us up in the DMs. You know, let us know what you guys want to see, who you guys want to hear from, and we'll do our best to do it. So that's the Industry Insider for Thursday, March 17th. Thanks, guys. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Dirt Life Show. See you next week.